Welcome each and every one of you, and thank you for coming to be with us here at the East End Church of Christ for the purpose of glorifying our God as we worship Him, and also for the purpose of being edified as His people. You know, the events of the Old Testament serve as an amazing example to us in this present age. As we look to the Old Testament Scripture, we find is that God established the children of Israel, and in establishing these people, He paints a picture for you and me as New Testament Christians that you and I need to learn from, both the bad examples as well as the good examples. And God wants us not only to learn from these, but then to apply them to our everyday walk of life, that indeed we may not forsake Him, but rather that we might serve Him in a way that by all means would bring glorification unto our God's name. One such example of what you and I need to know comes from the book of Jonah. Jonah is certainly a man that you and I can relate to. The Bible identifies for us that there was a time that he ran with God. There was also a moment in his life when he ran from God. The Bible yet shares with us that eventually he ran to God, and then finally he ran for God. In this, I want us to look at these points and then try to make the application to our everyday walk of life that we might better understand God, as well as that you and I might strive to live our lives in accordance to the will of God, so that when we stand before Him in judgment, we shall be pleasing and acceptable into His sight. The Bible identifies for us that Jonah was a man who had been called to God as a prophet. He was the son of Amittai. In this, he spoke during the reign of Jeroboam II. During this, we find is that Jonah did most amazing work amongst the children of Israel. According to what we find in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, it was during this man's message, his instructions to Jeroboam II, that Jeroboam reestablished the boundaries amongst the children of Israel. In the book of Jonah chapter 1, we have revealed to us is that God expects Jonah to go unto Nineveh. God speaks unto him and he commands him that he is to go unto the Ninevites to bring these people unto repentance. Good people, as we think in regard to the Ninevites, the Bible identifies for us is that these people were very evil and wicked. In this then, as Jonah was looking to the commandment or the commission that God has laid upon him, I can only imagine that these things were turning through his mind, that he was thinking concerning the evil and the wickedness of these people, and not only the way in which they had been cruel to the people of their lineage, not only how they had been people cruel to the people that dwelt in and amongst them, but also how that if he had gone and done what God had commanded him to do, that in like figure he too could have been a recipient of their evil and wicked being and the things that they had done to others. In all of this, we understand is that Jonah did not allow faith to lead him, but rather that Jonah allowed fear to take him off course from God. In all of this, Jonah ran from God. He flees from the presence of the Lord. I find that interesting here that as God was speaking unto Jonah, Jonah was thinking to himself, how can I get out of this? How can I get away from God? How can I depart from where God is and what it is that God is commanding me to do? Good people, what is it that Jonah came up with? The Bible identifies to us is that he enters a ship bound for Tarshish. He does not want to go to Nineveh. Again, I believe that fear is factoring in to why he makes the choice. He goes to Tarshish. Some scholars contend that this was in the opposite direction of Nineveh. But yet at the same time, while we do not know exactly where Tarshish is or was, we can conclude is that he was going away from God. He was going not where God had commanded him to go. And in all of this then, he was setting sail for a land that he wanted to go in place of keeping the commandments that God had laid before him. You know, God identified and God saw where Jonah was. God knew that Jonah had not gone to Nineveh. God knew that he had entered into that ship and that he was bound for Tarshish. And the Bible identifies for us that the Lord our God had caused a great storm to come upon the sea. And good people, as a result of that storm coming upon the sea, there were others who were in the ship there with Jonah. And the Bible tells us that these individuals began to fear for their life. This was indeed a very huge, a very drastic storm that was upon the sea at that time.
And in these individuals fearing for their life, they were starting to contemplate in regard to why the waters or why the seas were raging to the point to where they were. In all of this, because of the fact that they wanted to lighten the load, they started to throw things over the side, hoping that this would indeed make them able to navigate through the storm, but yet at the same time, as the waters continued to rage and their wheels of consideration continued to turn, the captain of the ship goes and he wakes Jonah. Yes, Jonah had gone to the bottom of the ship and he was sleeping there. I find it interesting that he's able to sleep through this storm. Why? Maybe it's because he had all of this stress and pressure upon him and he had wore himself out. And now as he goes down there, he's able to sleep. And that's just my speculation. But in all of this then, as he is awake and he's taken up to the top, and the sailors come in and are amongst him, and they say unto him, "Why is it that this has come upon us?" And Jonah confesses before the people that it is his fault. He confesses before them that God had commanded unto him to go and to do something, but yet at the same time that he fled from the presence of the Lord. And Jonah knew that in order for the sea to calm, in order for things to be right, in order for these individuals to be saved, that he had to be cast overboard. And good people, because of that then, he requested that they throw him overboard. But yet at the same time, I find it interesting here is that these individuals knew that this would have been to his demise, that this would have led to his death. And because of that then, they're very hesitant or reluctant to do so. Isn't that also the way in which we work in the Lord's church, is that whenever people are disorderly, whenever people are living an ungodly life, whenever people are causing problems in the body of Christ even, is that we're very hesitant, knowing that sometimes we must enact church discipline. Why is that? Because we realize the significance of what's going on with those things. I kind of see a parallel there. But yet in all of this, the sailors eventually do what it is that they know must be done. What it is that Jonah has actually told them to do. They cast him over into the sea. And as a result of that, then, the Bible tells us that the sea waters do come. And in all of this, then, Jonah is swallowed by a big fish. The Bible identifies for us that in the swallowing here by the big fish is that this fish had been prepared by God. Some people in our modern age refer to this fish as a whale. Good people, certainly we do not know that it was a whale, but we can say that it was a whale of a fish. We can certainly deduce that it was a large fish. And the Bible identifies for us that this fish had been prepared by God, especially for this occasion. This tells us concerning the foreknowledge of God, that our God knew that Jonah was going to not follow according to His commandments. That God realized that Jonah was going to flee from him and that Jonah was eventually going to be cast into the sea. In all of this, the Bible identifies for us that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. Incidentally, that's the same number of days that Jesus our Lord spent in the grave. And Jesus alluded to Jonah being in the fish for 3 days in the same sense of which he would be in the grave. Did Jesus believe that Jonah was real and that this was indeed not just some sort of a fish tale? Absolutely, our Lord realized that. In the time in which Jonah was in the belly of this fish, good people, he has much time to reconsider what it is that he has done. The Bible tells us that he runs to God. He turns to our God in pleading through prayer. Jonah, the Bible identifies for us in all of this that, first off, he's very angry with what it is that has taken place. I believe that he looks at the fact of what God has done with him and to him, and he looks at this and he sees it as being unfair. But yet at the same time, he is very confused in all of this. Why is it that I, a man who is a prophet of God, why is it that I, a man who has sought to live according to a way that would be pleasing to God, has had this placed upon him? But also, the Bible identifies for us, as you look at Jonah chapter 2, is that he becomes very humbled. He becomes an individual who no longer is questioning God, but rather a man who's looking at himself. And that's what God wanted Jonah to do. He wanted Jonah to wake up and to see that whenever God commands an individual to do something, He doesn't want him to question that. He doesn't want him to think, well, I've got other things to do. He doesn't want them to act in fear, but rather to act in faith. That God wants an individual to stand up, to listen exactly to what it is that he has to say, and then to comply with the commandments that he has for them. And Jonah, in the belly of this fish, begins to contemplate these things, and the Bible identifies for us that in the midst of all this, Jonah becomes not only humble, but Jonah becomes submissive. And as a result of that, he is spewed out of the giant fish's mouth. The Bible says, in the context of Jonah chapter 2 and verse 10, so the Lord God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Good people, God gave Jonah another chance at life. But as you look at Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, God also speaks to Jonah again, and He gives him a second chance to go and to do what it is that He wanted him to do initially. And in all of this, we understand, is that Jonah listens to God this time. He understood the seriousness of what it is whenever God speaks to an individual. He also understood what it was that God wanted him to do, is that God not only loved him and the children of Israel, but our God loves the souls of humanity. No matter how evil, wicked, or cruel the Ninevites were at that time, our God still looked at these individuals as souls. And God wanted Jonah to look at these people as souls. Souls that had been created after the very image of God. And souls who would someday stand before the judgment seat of God to give an account of their life. Souls that God wanted to hear His message, and souls that God wanted to repent. In all of this, the Bible identifies for us that Jonah arose and that Jonah went unto Nineveh. Whenever he entered into Nineveh, the Bible identifies for us that he went throughout the entirety of the city. Good people, in going through the city, and it took days for him to do so, what was it that he did? The Bible tells us that he cried out to the people. As he was speaking to these people concerning the way of God, as he was identifying to these individuals how it was that God had viewed them, I believe that the context bears out for us is that Jonah poured himself into the message that he was proclaiming to these individuals. The terminology there where he cries out tells us that this was a heartfelt message, that by all means he had come to consider the fact that these people were lost. And as he was crying out, he was pleading with these people, pleading for them to do what? To realize the Creator, to understand the God who has created everything, and that God is indeed looking down upon them, and that God sees the evil and wickedness that is within them, within their heart, as well as the things that is within their life. And Jonah pleads with these individuals to wake up, and in waking up that they turn to God in repentance. Good people, what were the results of what Jonah did? Jonah brings the souls of Nineveh unto repentance. These people indeed understood how that God was seeing them. But good people, also I believe that not only did they understand in hearing the message that Jonah proclaimed before them, how God saw them, I believe that they understood in a very real way the love that our God has for them and for the souls of mankind. And because of that, the Bible identifies to us is that these people repented of their sin. They turned away from the evil, wicked, and cruel treatment of others. And in all of that then, because of what Nineveh did, we see is that our God relented of the disaster that He had said that He would bring upon them. He did not do it. God turned away from His plans to destroy Nineveh. Because who had gone? Because Jonah had gone and did what God commanded him to do. As well as because Nineveh had repented of their sins. But good people, as I stand before you this morning, I tell you that Jonah was not perfect. Still, we understand as you go to Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jonah, even after he had brought these people to repentance, tells us that he was exceedingly disappointed and that he was even angry. Why? Because in his mind, I believe that he still wanted Nineveh to burn. Should we follow that example? Absolutely not. Should we learn from this example of this man? Most certainly.
as you and I look to the application of this lesson today, I want to present before us is that God wants you and me to run with Him. God has created us after His image, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And the Bible identifies for us that whenever we are born into this world, that we are born in a very innocent state. And because of the fact that we are innocent as babes, as infants, as well as children, we are safe in the sight of our God. In all of that, it is a time wherein that we are running with God. It is a time wherein that we know God. It is a time where that we have a relationship with our God. But yet at the same time, we find examples in the New Testament Scripture wherein that there were individuals who ran with God, who had a belief in God, who had faith in God, but yet at the same time, they stopped running with God and they turned away from God. One such instance is in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, where we find that Peter, a man of God, an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this individual was called upon to walk upon water. And as he steps out of the boat, good people, I believe that he stepped in faith. But as he considered what it was that he was doing, what it was that was surrounding him, the water, as well as the possibilities of him sinking, he no longer acted in faith, but rather he acted in fear. And because of the fact that he walked with God, certainly was pleasing to God. But yet at the same time, we can deduce that he walked away from God. And there are times in our life wherein that as we mature, the Bible identifies for us is that we sin and we fall away from God as a result of that sin. Good people, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As a result then of our sinning, we run away from God. We no longer have a relationship with our God. In all of this, God tells us that whenever we run away from Him, that He sees the sin that we are committing. He saw in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 the sin that Adam and Eve committed there in the garden. While they committed that sin and while they were walking with God, still we understand that God was not present there, actually there with them whenever they sinned against Him. But yet God, whenever He came through the garden, God was fully aware of the sin that they had committed. In like figure here, whenever Jonah walked away from God, God knew that he had not gone to Nineveh. God realized, even in Jonah's heart, that he was walking away from God long before he took those steps to entering into that ship and sailing off to Tarshish. In the same manner, our God sees our sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 says that all things are naked in the sight of God. Well, what does that mean? Good people, it means that God sees anything and everything. And God not only sees whenever we're sinning, God also knows our heart. He knows that whenever He commands us to live a certain type of life, and our heart says, you know, that's hard. God sees that we're questioning. God also understands that whenever we're reasoning in our heart and saying, well, the rest of the world is doing this, or the rest of the world is acting like that, the rest of the world is saying this or that, God hears our heart. And God sees the position that we're in whenever we run away from Him. And also the Bible tells us that God pleads with each soul to turn to Him. John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45 says that no one can come into the Father except they are drawn to Him. Verse 45 says that they all who are taught of God or learn of Him shall be brought into Him. Good people, Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As the Apostle Paul spoke to the saints at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, he told them that we have been called by the gospel. In hearing God's message proclaimed, our God wants us to understand that He is always there inviting mankind. Whenever man sins against God, it separates us from God. But yet at the same time, in God's love for us, He wants man to come back to Him. And God is constantly pleading with mankind today to hear His message proclaimed.
And in hearing His message proclaimed, He does not want us to do as the Pharisees did in the first century, to turn a deaf ear to Him, but rather to have open ears and to have a heart that says, yes, I want to know what it is that God wants me to do in life. But not only do I want to know what God wants me to do in life, I want to comply with that. I want to be pleasing and acceptable to God. I want God to know how much I love Him. God wants you and me to turn and to run to Him and to realize that today is the day of salvation. What does that mean? Good people, we talked about this in part in our class this morning, is that it does not mean that today, here upon the Lord's Day, is the only day that you can put Christ on in baptism, but rather what it means is that today, in this life, is a day of salvation. In the life in which you and I now have, in the time that God presents before us, why does God say today is the day of salvation? Because we may not have tomorrow. James says in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. I find it interesting that mankind in the days of James, they felt like they had tomorrow. They felt like they had a week out. They felt like they had years to live. But James says, you don't know what you have. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And mankind today needs to understand that we don't have tomorrow. We're very fortunate to have today, to have the here and now. But what does He say about our life? He says that it is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is short. And for that reason, our God pleads with us. Our God loves us. And our God wants mankind to come unto repentance. That's what Peter says by way of inspiration in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come into repentance. Our God waits patiently, and He pleads earnestly for individuals who are running away from Him, to run to Him, and to receive that salvation that He offers,
and that He willingly gave at Calvary's cross. Through Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. And whenever we obey Christ in baptism, God wants Christians to know He commands His people to run for Him. The Bible is God's inspired message to mankind. And it is essential for man, not only in the days of Jonah for the Ninevites to hear God's message, but good people, today it is necessary for the world of which you and I reside in to hear God's message. And His message today is presented in the New Testament Scripture. Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 through 16 that we are the light of the world. We are told through the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 that the things that we have heard, the things that we have learned, the things that you and I believe, we are to commit. Also, we are to teach others who are in then turn going to be able to teach others the same thing. We are responsible for the proclamation of the good news. In fact, you and I need to understand the responsibility we have as well as the opportunity that God places before us in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. Mark 16 and verse 15, we are to go to every creature under heaven. What is it that God's saying? The church in every generation. The church in this day and age is responsible for taking God's message unto mankind. It was not only Jonah or the prophets of old. It was not only the apostles of the first century church. Today, you and I have that same responsibility that God had laid upon Jonah. In our age, we are indeed the earthen vessel through whom God delivers His treasure, the good news, the gospel of Christ. And today, you and I can be just as guilty as running away from that responsibility. And you and I, if we've been guilty in doing that, we need to turn to God, to listen to the commandments that He lays before us. Not only to live our life according to the standards of New Testament Christianity, but also to take that message to others. If we do not, then these souls will be lost in the day of judgment. God has appointed a day wherein that His wrath will be poured out upon the world. And good people, in stating that, I tell you that God's wrath will be poured out upon all those who are lost. But you know, God will certainly relent of that if you and I go and bring people to repentance. One soul at a time. These souls can come into a relationship with our God. And based out of that relationship that they gain in Christ, these people too shall stand faithful before God as long as they obey Him faithfully in life, being snatched from the fire, being pulled from the eternal devastations of hell. Today we ask, are you running with God? Or are you running from God? Do you realize that God wants you to run to Him? And then as a Christian, are you running for Him? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, would you please come as together we stand and ask, we sing.